Well, good morning. I'm Pastor Christian Becker, and I'm glad you found Lakeside Church of the Brethren. This Sunday's Palm Sunday, and I welcome you to our online worship service. I have some special treats for you today as part of my message, and especially at the end. But before we turn to the Word of God, would you join me as we talk to the God of the Word? Almighty God, we come to you today asking for peace for our hearts, for our families, and for our nation. Father, we ask for those who are treating the ill, for wisdom for them. We pray that you would be with the families. We also pray for wisdom for our leaders, that they would know what to do to keep us safe in this crisis. As we come now to your word, we pray that your Holy Spirit would open the eyes of our understanding, and we might hear a word from you for our hearts today. For we ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, it was Palm Sunday, and Sue's 5-year-old son was sick and had to stay home from church with a neighbor. When the family returned home carrying palm branches, he said, "Well, what are they for?" Well, his mother explained, "People place them on the road in front of Jesus as he came by." "I knew it," her son said. "The one Sunday I don't go to church and Jesus shows up." Well, why do we celebrate Palm Sunday? What does it mean? What does it mean today? Well, without a doubt, the message of Palm Sunday is that Jesus Christ is King. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday, he offered himself as King to the nation of Israel. But as you know, he was rejected. So much so that later on he sat on the Mount of Olives nearby, and with a loud voice he cried out, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I have longed to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you are not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate." And in 70 AD, Jerusalem was leveled to the ground, fulfilling this prophecy of Jesus. But more than that, when he came to the temple, he found not only those who rejected him, but those who were robbing him their king. Remember how he cleansed the temple, saying, "My house will be called a house of prayer, but you're making it a den of robbers"? Today, God calls every Christian the temple of his Holy Spirit, and he will never be satisfied until he has crowned the undisputed and unrivaled King in our lives. I want to invite you, if you have a Bible, to turn with me to the Old Testament book of Zechariah. I want to look with you at a prophecy about Jesus the King. Amazingly, this prophecy was made about 500 years before that first Palm Sunday. Book of Zechariah, chapter 9, and verse 9. The Bible says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Now here we see three different aspects of our Lord's kingship that require a response from you and me. The first aspect of Jesus' kingship that we see is Jesus' majesty as king. His majesty as king. The Bible says, "See, your king comes to you righteous and gentle." Zechariah's vision of the king's majesty is very interesting. Those two tremendous words, righteous and gentle, or if you have a King James, it says just and lowly, together they make up the vision of the king that we're to behold. First, consider with me the majesty of his righteousness. Today, repressive governments and dictators are being challenged over human rights violations. Places like Hong Kong, Syria, Saudi Arabia, Iran, and Venezuela. People everywhere long for a righteousness and justice that only Jesus Christ will bring when he comes to reign over all the earth. One day, he will rule in righteousness as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We've been blessed over the years with some good and godly leaders, but none are like the majesty of Jesus' righteousness. The prophet Isaiah wrote about Jesus, "The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever." Also consider with me the majesty of Jesus' lowliness. The Bible says that he is lowly or gentle. The idea here is humble. You know, the genius of greatness is the ability to condescend. That means to come down to another's level, like an adult does for a child. The opposite of condescension we call snobbishness. You know, one of the greatest moments in history was when the Eternal One was born in time. And men looked into the face of God, the lowly one, born in a manger. Yet, wonder of wonders, he was born a king. Men are never born as kings. They're born as princes, usually. They become a king. But Jesus was born a king. He was the lowly one, but today we see him in his holy majesty. No monarch, no head of state has ever lived to lift our eyes to such holiness or bring our eyes down to such lowliness. Only Jesus Christ was fully God and fully man. True greatness in God's eyes only comes by humility. Remember what the Bible says. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I struggle to adequately describe our King Jesus to you. But watch this and see if this helps.
The Bible says, my King is the King of the Jews. He's the King of righteousness. He's the King of the ages. He's the King of heaven. He's the King of glory. He's the King of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my King. I wonder, do you know him? My King is a sovereign King. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's God's Son. He's a sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the miracle of the age. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. Well, he's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his office is manifold. His promise is sure. His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is lighter. I wish I could describe him to you. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your head. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. And the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah!
Well, what is your response today to this King? Look with me today at the Lord Jesus through the eyes of faith and see him as the King he is, majestic in his righteousness, majestic in his lowliness. He alone is worthy of our worship and our praise. Will you worship him today as your Lord and your God? And so the first aspect of Jesus' kingship that Zechariah shows us in is his majesty. The second aspect of his kingship we see is Jesus' mastery as the king, his mastery. Look with me at Zechariah's vision of the king's mastery. He says, "See your king, lowly, riding on a donkey, on the colt, the foal of a donkey." Folks, riding on a donkey was a symbol of humility, but it was also the symbol of peaceful entry into that great city of Jerusalem. When a king came riding on a horse, he came as the conquering victor in battle. But when he came riding on a donkey, he came in peace. And what Jesus did on this occasion illustrates the majesty he wants to exercise in your life and mine. As king, he claimed the colt. The Gospel of Matthew reports that Jesus said, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." Mark's gospel adds that it was an unbroken colt. He claimed his mount, and no one asked any questions. They immediately released the donkey to him. You know, that's a beautiful picture of God's claim on your life. God claims you because the Bible says he made you. He bought you at a price, and he wants you. He says, "Come to me, all that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." As a young man, Count Zinzendorf took a trip through Germany to the city of Paris. He stopped in the town of Dusseldorf at an art gallery, and there he spent some time admiring the work of the great masters. When he saw a picture of Christ suffering on the cross, he stood there amazed, and he read the words the artist added to his painting. "All this I did for you. What have you done for me?" That became a turning point in Zinzendorf's life. He returned home and he dedicated his life to Christ. He devoted himself and his wealth to the service of the Master. As a result, he became the leader of one of the early brethren groups, the Moravian Brethren. And he responded to the claim of Christ in his life, and he said yes. You know, as king, Jesus controlled the colt. That itself was a miracle. It takes 8 weeks to break in a colt and longer to train it to behave in a crowd. With palms waving and children singing and men and women shouting and with all the noisy confusion on that road to Jerusalem, Jesus rode majestically on that colt into the city. He was the creature's master. He controlled it completely. And that gives you and me hope. There was a professional jockey who attended church one Palm Sunday, and he sat there disgusted with himself over the sin in his life that he couldn't control. As he heard the story of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem read, it grabbed his attention. He sat there amazed at how Jesus claimed and mounted an unbroken and untrained donkey and then rode him calmly through the noisy city. He remembered the hours he'd spent training colts and horses. And then he thought of himself. If Jesus Christ could quietly and quickly control a colt, surely Jesus could master his life. And there in the back of the church, the jockey repented of his sin and he became a child of God. So let me ask you, is Jesus master of your life? Have you responded to God's claim on your life? Jesus has done so much for you, my friend. Does he have command in your life yet? Only with Christ's help can we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Only Jesus can bring the explosive energy of youthfulness under his control and direct students to higher purposes. Only Jesus can control your mind, your will, and your body. Are you struggling to control yourself today? Give yourself to Jesus the King. Bow your knee before him and submit to him as your Lord. Behold the majesty of your King. Submit to the mastery of your King. And so the first aspect of Jesus' kingship is his majesty. Have you humbled yourself before him? The second way we see Jesus' kingship is his mastery. Have you submitted to him? But there is a third aspect of his kingship that Zechariah shows to us, and that is Jesus' ministry as the king, his ministry. Look with me at Zechariah's vision of the king's ministry. He says, "See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation." Friends, the reason Jesus came into the world was to bring salvation to everyone. The Apostle Paul wrote about it. He said, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." And remember, when Jesus was born, he was called Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. The name Jesus means Jehovah saves. And the Lord Jesus stands waiting to bring his salvation to you today. He brings salvation from the penalty of sin. The Bible says, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's you and me. Salvation is, first of all, from the penalty of sin, because the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. None of us are perfect. The Bible adds, for the wages of sin is death. Because we're sinners, we all deserve the penalty of death. The Bible says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus saves us from sin's penalty. Jesus also brings salvation from the power of sin as well. The Bible says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Salvation is also a process of gaining victory over sin. It takes the power of God to destroy the power of sin. We are not strong enough to defeat sin on our own. We try and we think we're successful for a while, and then when we least expect it, temptation comes and brings us down. And the devil has a way of convincing us that the one thing that will destroy us is a thing we cannot live without, that we're powerless to stop it, and that is why you and I need salvation from the power of sin. And as we grow in Christ, we are delivered again and again from Satan's constant attacks by God's overcoming power. Have you allowed Jesus Christ to minister to you? Do you really know him? Have you been saved from the power and the penalty of sin? You say, well, how, Brother Becker, how can I do that? If you will turn to Jesus from your sinful self-centeredness today and come to God and say, Father, please accept and adopt me, not for what I have done, but because of what Jesus did for me on the cross. If you will do that, the Bible says you become a child of God that very day. Oh, friend, the Lord Jesus stands waiting to bring salvation to you. He loves you. He always has, and he always will. Christian friend, have you called on Jesus to deliver you from the power of sin? Well, let's review what we've seen today. First of all, we saw that Zechariah shows us the majesty of Jesus' kingship, his righteousness and lowliness. Second, we saw the majesty, the mastery of Jesus' kingship, how he claimed and controlled the cult. And then last, we saw the ministry of Jesus' kingship, bringing salvation for all from the penalty and the power of sin. What a king! What a king we have! Now, you might say, well, okay, now what? Well, let me ask you, how have you responded? Today is your turn. You're in the crowd. Jesus has come your way and is passing by. Will you recognize the time of Jesus' coming to you? Will you worship him as your Lord? Will you obey him? Will you allow him to save you? News reports said a woman was trapped on the top floor of a burning building. Flames and smoke blocked every way of escape. When firefighters arrived, one of the men scrambled up a ladder to the window where the woman was screaming for help. He stretched out his arms and offered to save her, but when she looked down and saw the distance to the ground, she panicked and went back into the smoke-filled room. The fireman begged her to trust him for her safety, but she didn't listen to his pleas. In senseless fear, she drew back beyond his reach. When he was finally forced to return to the ground, he said with tears in his eyes, "I did everything I could to save her, but she wouldn't let me. She wouldn't let me." Friends, Jesus has done everything he could to save you from your sin and give you victory over sins that control your life. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, yet Jesus gave his life for you. The Bible says he is coming back one day soon, and we will all stand before him and give an account of our lives. Will you trust him and follow him today? Now, someone might say, "Well, Pastor, what will happen if I follow Jesus?" Good question. Daniel Hobin writes in Ponder the Palm Sunday Paradox, "If Jesus knew that a donkey was waiting for him in the next town, he certainly knows what's down the road for you. You may not know how that medical test is going to turn out, but Jesus does. And I would add, you may not know what will happen after this health crisis, but Jesus already knows how he will provide for you and your family. And knowing that gives me the confidence to follow him." And so on this Palm Sunday, we celebrate that Jesus has come. Will you come to Jesus today? Do you know him as your Lord and Savior? Friends, God loves you, has been waiting for you to forgive you and make you his child. Christian friend, he wants to restore you to the place of blessing. Give yourself completely to Jesus today. Would you join me in prayer? Father in heaven, thank you for Jesus, our amazing Savior and Lord, for his majesty, his mastery, and his ministry for our lives. We welcome you today, Jesus, as Lord, and we look to you as our good shepherd to protect and care for us. We ask all of this, Father, in the name above all names, the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to close with a special song to encourage you. A number of years ago, my good friend Tim Morrison led his church choir in a great song of response to the Lord. And I want to invite you to listen. Then, if you like, sing to the Lord along with the choir. "I'll Say Yes, Lord."
I think if we're all honest, sometimes we, as individuals, as God's children, we play games with him. You know, we may have given him our heart and our life, but there's always sometimes that little section of our life that we want to keep for ourselves. Sometimes I think maybe we haven't given him our whole heart. And you know, he's calling out to us tonight. He wants us to say yes. He wants us to surrender our whole heart to him. Will you do that tonight? Come on and sing with us.
"I'll say yes.
Oh,
we say yes to you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We surrender ourselves to you, Lord. You lead us beside the still waters. You restore our soul. You lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Yea, though we walk in the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. For you are with us, your rod and your staff, they comfort us. Oh Lord, we lift our hands to you tonight, we say yes. We say yes.
Close with this. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. May God bless you and keep you safe this week. Thank you for worshiping with us today. Lord willing, we'll post another video next Sunday for Easter. But until then, listen to the Bible, my friend. It is great for your soul.